Patrice, you want to...
I think Chris did a very good job of really summing up the concerns, probably not just of his constituents, but of all the fishing constituents. We always have the fear of the unknown. I think we can somewhat wrap our heads around a pilot scale project and think about making it work, but obviously we're not going to have major investment in something that's not going to lead to a major investment. It's just not how business works. So we too share a lot of those concerns. And there's a real lack of data, I think, on the fishing side and on a lot of this stuff to really feed into the process. And this is a bit of a mind-bending exercise for fishermen. I mean, we're just not in the business of saying, yeah, this is where I make my money. Let me, hey, wait, sign me up to put it on a chart. And this is a real cultural shift. We're not used to sharing the ocean. So, you know, we tend to have a lot of fear, and we're being, I think, forced outside of our comfort zone to participate in a level that we're not quite ready for. But we're at the table. We're doing that, and I really think Chris sort of covered that stuff. So what was raised in the group that we were in was the idea of compensation, that we will assume there will be some displacement, that the windmills will be sighted, that people will not be able to fish that bottom. So how do we ensure that the people who are losing their ability to make their living be displaced into other people are compensated? There were ideas that would directly feed into present management situations for ground fishermen who may be losing access. It could pay for the rigorous requirements under the federal system to pay for monitoring to actually be able to fish, which is very difficult for them to pay for. This could feed into that. But there's also the idea of future displacement. It's not only our fishermen today who will be losing access to something that they have the ability to do, but it's our children and our grandchildren and generations to come who will never have the ability to make a living from that bottom. And so we really need to be thinking about solving things in the short and medium term, but also that we have something in place. For the lobster industry, you know, we're very territorial. You can't just take somebody's bottom away and expect that he can go set his traps where somebody else is. It's just not the way things work. And I don't even know that I understand what that displacement would mean. And we also have to think about if we are going to get compensation, how can we do things that really do build the industry up as a whole, invest in the profitability and the long-term sustainability of our industry. So I think we came out with more questions than answers. And it's just scary because we actually don't have a lot of the information to guide us in a way. Certainly the MLA remains committed. I have to thank very sincerely the Island Institute. I think that they've done yeoman's work making sure that the industry is informed and calling us and saying, get your butt to this meeting, you need to be there. I think BOLM has done a good job of trying to say, okay, you know, we haven't been getting the word out very well, we're gonna step it up. And even to Statoil, you know, MLA has been able to have direct communications with them. They've been gracious enough to communicate some of what they're doing through our newsletter. So in terms of the pieces being there, you know, it's positive, but it doesn't really remove the fear of the unknown. So I guess that's more questions than answers from MLA's corner.
Thank you, Patrice. I think it